Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, 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 is this DeSoto legend and Super Bowl MVP teasing that he's about to sign with America's team? Zach Wolchuk alongside Eric Chiafalo, the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus, and of course Lucius Alexander coordinating your video is Austin Nix, and we're parting with you here, hour number two of the G-Bag Nation, about to hit a mixed bag audio bonanza featuring a couple of big time legends. But this is just hot off the press. Von Miller on Instagram with a photo of himself in a number 24 Cowboys jersey with the shh emoji and the cowboy hat. Maybe he's teasing that he's about to sign with your Dallas Cowboys. Certainly no official news on that. We kicked the tires on this several times yesterday, most notably. I don't think you can ever have enough pass rushers, fellas. The Cowboys have a lot of question marks. There's a lot of potential. Like, you've got a ton of potential with Malachi Lawrence. You had a lot of potential with Donovan Ezeraku. Rashawn Gary, I think, is a really good all-around edge, but he's not a double-digit sack guy for you. Von Miller had, what, 8 sacks last year, quietly in Washington, still productive, and we've seen it with the last handful of Super Bowl champs, specifically with the Seahawks. You need depth. You need a rotation, and you can never have enough pass rushers. Von Miller, I'd love it. That would get me excited. I think that's exactly what the Cowboys could use depth-wise.
Yeah. You don't want to have crazy expectations for him, but I do think he can come in here and be helpful for you in a limited role, designated pass rusher, obvious passing downs. You throw Von Miller out there. And then what he can be as well as a mentor, like DeMarcus Ware was for him in Denver all those years ago, he could be that guy for Malachi Lawrence, for Donovan Ezeraku. I think it's a no-brainer, because one of my biggest questions about this Cowboys defense, will they have enough pass rush?
Yeah.
And I think Von Miller can certainly help you with that, and hopefully help the young guys grow into what will hopefully be all-pro badasses.
Could be exciting. 877-881-1053. What would a Cowboys potential addition of Von Miller do for you? Does that change any of your expectations heading into the season? Of course, nothing official, just Von Miller putting that out on his Instagram. All right, let's go ahead and shake it up. Hit a mixed bag.
You want a chocolate?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Mom always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in a bag.
You never know what you're gonna get.
All right, let's stay with the NFL. Man, I did not realize, and I think we saw glimpses of it last year because Mac Jones got to start again for San Francisco with Brock Purdy out. But this dude has had an incredible interview with Bustin' with the Boys. I mean, he is giving so much viral content from this interview. And he's got a great personality, and he's kind of got a Peyton Russell aspect about him to where he's just hilarious without even trying to be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a likable, goofy guy. And Mac Jones was talking about the 2021 NFL draft, how he might end up with San Francisco. He said, quote, "I remember all the hype leading up to it. I think everything happens for a reason. I'm here where I'm at now, and I did think they traded up for somebody, and I knew it was one of two people, and I was one of the people. So I guess if you're a gambling man, it's a 50-50 shot at the start." But then he adds, "You could have just picked me at 12. I don't know if I'm worth 3 first-round picks, but bleep, sign me up." Like, the self-awareness of Mac Jones, I love. He went on to also talk about just the craziness. Josh McDaniels leaves after his rookie season, in which he does go 9-7, takes the Patriots to the playoffs. And the next year's when they did that whole experiment with like Joe Judge and Matt Patricia as their offensive coordinator. And that just totally nuked his career in New England. Like, they just put anybody to be the coach. They didn't know what they were doing. And I mean, from his perspective, like, that would be crazy. I've got a special teams and a defensive coordinator trying to be my offensive coordinator. Like, how do you think this is going to turn out? Disastrous.
No, we've never seen anything like that before.
It was unreal.
And the fact that it was a Bill Belichick decision.
Like, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's wild. It's wild. But here was Mac talking about when he's being recruited and the strength coaches at Alabama. This is an incredible story.
How intense was it when you first got to Alabama? Was there a point where you're like, yeah, I got to get out of here?
There's too many goons. I'm used to goons, but this is way too many fucking goons.
That's a good point. I think my mindset was there, but like my first day when I did that lift, because the lifts there were insane. And Scott Cochran was obviously a legend. Go in, you do your warm up, like everything's like so organized and structured. You're running to every lift, so like you'll back squat and then you'll like run to the row machine. It's like you're dying and they'll give you water pretty much. Well, they do. I'll say that they do. But anyways, first day I'm like hallucinating. Like I can't even finish an hour workout. And I'm like, do these other guys like Minka Fitzpatrick and everybody are like, they look like they're 10 years older than me. One of the coaches, he thought I was a walk-on. So he like put me with the walk-ons. Like there's another group for the walk-ons.
Holy shit.
So the first day I'm with the walk-ons and I didn't know shit. I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go lift my ass
with all these other white guys.
It's amazing. Like the eventual starting quarterback and national champion Mac Jones at Alabama, they're like, yeah, this dude, I mean, he can't hack it. Put him with the walk-ons over there. And I mean, he does not look like he is a college athlete or a quarterback in the NFL. When you look at Mac Jones, he looks like an average guy. But incredible. And I'd very much encourage you to go check out the Bustin' with the Boys episode. He's funny. They have a lot of fun going back and forth. Now, let's get back to college. And you played the Julian Lewis clip, Eric, of him basically outing the staff like they weren't watching any tape. And then you brought up, Brian, the point of, all right, maybe it's tough to work for Prime in the coaching turnover. Where here's Deion Sanders on a game against Georgia Tech in Atlanta, and he needs to tighten up the reins on this coaching staff a little bit.
What's it going to be like to go back to Atlanta? Play Georgia Tech. What you got planned?
I got the coaches on curfew, not the kids.
I'm telling you.
The coaches are having curfew against Georgia Tech. We go in there 2 days early. We'll be there on a Tuesday. We play on a Thursday night in front of the whole country. I can't wait, man.
Yeah.
The coaches are on curfew, not the kids. I mean, hey, I get it. He's probably got a bunch of coaches that are going to go out and have a great time. And he is, Pat Shurmur, not there anymore. So they've added a new coordinator and quarterback coach there, Brennan Marion. And Marion's coming over from Sacramento State, where he spent one season following a stint at UNLV. Previously, he's been nominated as a finalist for OC of the Year honors, and he's expected to be an immediate upgrade over Pat Shurmur, who was demoted last year.
Yeah. Is he not going to install the high school freeballing offense?
I hope not. I mean, the offense got outscored 105-24 across a two-week span last year with Pat Shurmur.
Yeah.
Like, that dude probably shouldn't coach in football again.
No.
Not even in high school.
I was blown away when Deion brought him in to be the OC.
Crazy.
Kevin Mathis is his new defensive coordinator, by the way.
Oh, former Cowboy?
Former Cowboy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hell yes. Like I say, they've got to figure some things out there in Colorado. That's not as kumbaya as it once was, probably 2-3 years ago. They've got to find a way to be more competitive over there.
No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a big year. I mean, they finished 23rd in the top 25 rankings 2 years ago. Last year was just an absolute disaster of a season. This is big news, as I guess Texas Tech and Big 12 kind of buried the hatchet here. Brett Yormark and Texas Tech executive recently met at a Fort Worth steakhouse to bury the Brendan Sorsby hatchet.
Cattleman's?
A tough reconciliation process remains ongoing. This is per Ross Dellinger. Cody Campbell on the Fort Worth meeting said, quote, "We want to find a way to get all other Big 12 schools to elevate themselves. Everybody needs to do some version of what we've done. That's the path forward for this conference. A rising tide lifts all boats." So meanwhile, now you have the Sorsby saga continuing as the NCAA has finally sent Cincinnati a letter of inquiry. Mm. Inquiry. It is. I've heard both pronounced
inquiry.
That way. Inquiry. I said it right the first time. Inquiry. I like inquiry. I think that sounds good. But it's about time. Like, why did it take this long for you to go ahead and say, hey, Cincinnati, what was up? You guys.
After Tech encouraged them to do so.
You guys know about this? You know? Well, yeah, it's like ping pong. Cincinnati encourages them to look into, hey, the Sorsby guy.
Cincinnati, I guarantee you leaked all this stuff.
100%. I'm with you.
Well, it's going to be an ultimate KNC backfire.
Yeah, it is. Backfire. Also, the Dallas Mavericks have begun a multi-year partnership with JPMorgan Chase. As the franchise's official jersey patch and banking partner, Chase will have a presence across American Airlines Center, including an entrance on the east side of the building for eligible cardholders.
So we're going to get the Chase logo on the jersey.
We've already got Chase, isn't there an arena out in San Francisco named Chase?
Yes, Chase Center.
I wonder if our new arena here in Dallas for our basketball team is going to be Chase.
Have the same thought.
Well, maybe, I guess, does Rick Welts, is he part of that? Like, he was with Golden State. He helped them get their new stadium.
Maybe that's a good point.
Maybe Weltsy's got the in with Chase.
Eric, you're being very observant.
You had the American Airlines Arena in Miami, and you had the American Airlines Center in Dallas. So it wouldn't be the first time. Instead of Chase Center, you do Chase Arena.
Chase Arena.
Boom. And then everybody's happy here. We have the
return. What about the Chase Basketball Barn?
I like that.
How does that work? Yeah, just going to the CBB tonight.
Here it is. UFC 329, the return of the notorious Conor McGregor, is this Saturday on Paramount Plus. Conor has been doing the media rounds.
When's the last time he won a bout?
The last time he fought was 5 years ago. Last time he won, it might be seven when he beat Donald Cerrone. Mm. It's been a while. But he's coming back from that broken leg he suffered against Dustin Poirier. But here was Conor doing some interview yesterday during media day.
I was in my mother's... Or I came out of my mother like this, and the midwife said, your son is going to be a fighter.
Is that true?
That's a true story, yeah. So, I can't remember that far back. I was fighting off the other guys trying to get the place. So, here you go. Fighting all the way, bro. All the way. And I will be all the way.
Man, and I don't know how she came out last night and put some doubt to people that this fight was going to end up happening, but both fighters are there doing media day. Conor's never been a guy, once he's there, like fight week happens, he's never backed out of a fight. In fact, he's had multiple fighters that he's supposed to go up against pull out, and he stays and fights whoever they, like the Nate Diaz, the first time he lost him, he was supposed to fight somebody else. Nate Diaz then takes the bout, short notice. He's supposed to fight Aldo. Chad Mendez then has to step in, fights him 2 weeks out, and he won both matches. So I don't think Conor's backing out of this one. I think this is going to happen. He seems to be in a good place. Look, he's taking accountability for what it's worth. There's a lot of people, I think, that will never be fans of Conor McGregor again, and I totally understand it. But there is something special about a McGregor card.
Is he broke?
No.
Not broke?
No. He still makes
financially?
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure.
He made so much money off the Floyd fight, his Proper 12 whiskey brand. He owns Bare Knuckle Fighting.
Okay.
So money's still not a problem.
No, not a problem there. Okay, we're fighting.
He's not like Floyd trying to like jump back in here because he needs a cash grab. Because honestly, I don't think he even makes what he's worth fighting for the UFC. I don't think a lot of these fighters do. And he still had two fights left on his old UFC contract. So I think he's going to fight. And if he wins, then they're already talking about a fast track to a title fight with Justin Gaethje. So we'll see what happens. But it's going to be fascinating. It could end up being heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Where if you're a Conor fan, he shows up and looks terrible, and Max Holloway, who's been active, and Max is a badass in his own right, beats the crap out of him. And then it's like we're watching what was, I think, the greatest come-up and era in UFC history, and it's over. And we're just realizing in real time, like, oh my gosh, it's done. But you still always have the hope of, like, that left hand of Conor. Does he sleep Max in round two? And then, oh my gosh, the champ is back. So I can't help, but I loved Conor.
I know.
His rise was incredible. It's been really heartbreaking to kind of see just how things have gone out of control for him. And he's lost himself and the sexual allegations and punching old people in bars and clearly the substance abuse and alcohol abuse that he's been going through. But hopefully he's gotten his mind right for this fight and we get a vintage McGregor performance because there's really nothing like it.
Yeah,
and it'll be good for the UFC.
He's a showman. There's no question about that. And that'd be one, like, as a casual UFC guy, I'm down to watch that just see, does he still have anything left or is he about to get embarrassed?
I know. It's going to be fun. And Patty Pimblett's fighting the co-main event. He's also very, very entertaining. All right. How about some baseball, Maxie, next
year? Yes. All sorts of history being made next in the nation.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a little baseball maxing. First time we're going to baseball max here in the G-Bag Nation. I'm very excited about this. It was a historical day in Major League Baseball yesterday. Rangers get the win, and life is good. Krusty's Corner with the Super Bowl champion Brian Broaddus coming up here in a few minutes. This segment of The Nation brought to you by The Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call The Frankels first. 214-333-3333. And right now it is time for this.
Now there's a new trend called ball maxing.
Everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different.
Do you still think the balls are juiced?
Texas Rangers Jordan Montgomery, fourth rehab start earlier today.
I'm right.
Three innings, five hits, no earned runs, no walks, three punchouts.
Woo!
Threw 40 pitches and had 26 strikes as Monty inches closer and closer to his Rangers return. And I know we're all excited about that.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, guys, is it crazy to say you should trade DeGrom because you got Monty?
Okay. Settle down just a little bit there, Wolchuk.
I mean, the first innings are out of whack, bro.
I know. And Schumacher saying, like, no chance we would ever have an opener for DeGrom.
And I agree with Corey. I mean, all you needed was Evo and Monty, and they brought you a World Series. I think you're set.
That's true. That's a dynamic championship duo right there. DeGrom just sat back and watched the entire time.
Sorry, Jakob.
All right, so we do have some quality stats of the day here when it comes to Major League Baseball. I was blown away when I saw that Byron Buxton was caught stealing for the first time since May 1st of 2024.
Whoa!
Yeah, he had been
safe. That's a base-stealing badass.
37 consecutive stolen base attempts coming into Monday's game. It was the longest streak by an AL player since Ichiro. 06 and 07, he did it 45 straight times.
I was going to go Ian Kinsler.
45 straight bags. And now he has to reset it and see if he can go on another run. Byron Buxton. You also have Mason Miller. What a dog for the Padres. In his first 35 appearances of 2026, he has a .98 ERA and a 16.5 strikeout per nine innings pitched. Okay, he is the first MLB player to have a sub-1 ERA and over 16 punchouts per nine through his first 35 appearances of a season since 1913. You got to go way, way back when Broadus was only just still an adolescent to get that particular stat.
He was already thinking about being drafted in World War II.
Now, do you want the good? I skip the bad and go right to the ugly when it comes to the Royals. You have good, and then you have ugly. What do you want first?
Well, good.
Tyler Tolbert tied an MLB record for consecutive at-bats with a hit. 12 straight at-bats.
Yes, he did.
In what was a wild game versus the Mets. Now, it's wild because the game ends 16-12. Royals get the win. But this baseball folly right here is too good not to play. Okay? I would like to take you to the bottom of the first inning with the bases loaded. Kansas City is pitching. And this is the disaster that ensued on Royals television.
Little tapper left of the mound. Mugo fielding, throwing on the run, and it gets on by Caglione. That'll bring in the game's first run as Ewing scores. Bichette to third, and all the way to second goes Benge. Now it's thrown to the backstop, and Bichette digging for the play. Oh, he scores. Now the ball gets away again, and Benge will score. Three separate errors on one play by the Kansas City Royals.
Oh,
the Mets lead 3-0.
The Royals gave up a three-error little league homer that included one of the worst throws you'll ever see on a baseball diamond from old Jack Caglione.
Okay, not good.
That was.
Hey, he's in the home run derby now, though.
Yes, he is. Yes,
that
he is.
That guy seems to punish the Rangers.
Oh, he does. It's weird how we get just random guys that'll just be Ranger killers, and they stink against everybody else. But this has been quite the series against the Royals because the day before, they were the first team to score in every inning since the White Sox did it against Cleveland back in 2016. They scored in every inning, 26 up, 27 down. It's even more rare than a perfect game. that this happened. And they did it against the Phillies ace Christopher Sanchez. They knocked him out of the game in 3 1/3 innings. It was amazing. They scored 6 in the first.
Dang, on Sanchez, too. We know firsthand how freaking dominant Sanchez is. Wow, what a week for Kansas City.
It's been fun for them.
A lot of highs,
a lot of lows.
But the good news is that triple throwing error with the Little League homer situation was in the first inning, and they had enough time to claw back and win that game 16-12. So all is not lost there in Kansas City. But that was pretty ugly and embarrassing. I need to send you guys this clip here. Now, Austin Nix, our wonderful fan cam coordinator, is going to throw this up for the YouTube and the Twitch. But I want you guys to see this because in Baltimore, they are revolutionizing the sport of the in-game promotions, I would say. And, you know, sometimes like they'll do like the beach ball in the stands and everybody's got to keep the ball going or whatever. Well, they have changed it up, okay? How can you not be romantic about baseball and hot dogs? Mm-hmm. Baltimore teaming up with Quick Trip, okay? So they have a inflatable Quick Trip hot dog, and they have an inflatable Quick Trip hot dog bun. And they start on opposite sides of the ballpark, and the fans have to volley it until they get the hot dog securely and safe into the bun. And it was actually really fun to watch. It was exhilarating. And when they finally landed the dog into the bun, the entire crowd erupted like they just hit the grand slam home run.
How long did it take them to do it? Was it like a 2-3 minutes?
The clip that I see is like a 50-second clip.
Okay.
And it looks like they're picking it up kind of in the middle of it. So, yeah, roughly, I would guess, a minute, maybe 90 seconds, having to bounce those things. And this is just like all fans uniting and coming together and trying to make something happen there in the middle of a commercial break. Like, you don't have that much time.
Yeah,
everybody's got to come correct here. Everybody's got to do their job, keeping the hot dog and the bun up in the air until they land perfectly into each other. It's a beautiful advertisement for Quick Trip, by the way.
Oh yeah,
because I mean this video is going viral right now.
That's true.
Quick Trip is the big winner here, and kudos to Baltimore because I think that was pretty dang legit.
Are those some good dogs? Those QT dogs?
QT dog will,
Yes. Quick Trip hot dogs are fantastic, bro. Make sure that bun is nice and soft in there in that little heating area.
That's the key.
Yeah, you got to watch them buns.
It's time to eat them like 3:38 in the morning. What time do we eat these Quick Trip hot dogs?
They're 24 hours a day.
Sometime in the afternoon.
Oh, we're in afternoon?
Yeah, I don't have the belly like that, bro.
I just wondered if
3 a.m. hot dog from a gas station.
Crazy.
Recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
I'm just told that time we went to Nobu and Bobby made me pull over to gas station to get a roast beef sandwich. Sandwich there, or turkey sandwich, whatever he got.
We were at freaking Nobu, man.
Yeah, Bobby's like, hey, man, you mind pulling over for me?
And I get it. He's not a seafood guy. But
can't take him nowhere.
And he went in there and got him a Quick Trips. Actually, like Pacific Coast Highway hot dog is what he, or a sandwich is what he got. Yeah,
that was maybe as infuriated as I've ever been with Bobby. And it had really nothing to do with me. I wasn't losing in any way.
No.
But just knowing that he was punting on Nobu's food so he could get an expired sub sandwich roast beef style from a random gas station totally angered me.
Then I moved it in a box at least 4 different times.
Oh, yeah.
That little sandwich. Let's move it over here. Nobody's buying it. put it over here. Like, it's not expired yet.
Kind of take a Sharpie and mark out the date a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of make it like you
ticker on there.
Yeah, you can't see all the date. You know?
He ate a sandwich that was probably made during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And he was fine.
Right across the street was Nobu.
Yeah.
You got to just go back to the hotel and order yourself food. Don't let anybody else know that you're
Lucius, are you going over to the nacho cheese area to lather your hot dog at Quick Trip? You're just going straight mustard?
I usually go straight mustard. Yeah.
Don't want to play too
dangerous.
Sometimes
put some onions on there. Now, I can't do too much with that. But don't get it twisted, though. You can make those walking tacos over there.
Yeah.
You know, put the Doritos and
yes.
You pour them cheese and that little... And the chili on there?
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Is the
jalapenos?
Is the veg sketch over there? We're talking about like the relish and onion.
The veg.
That's short for vegetables.
Okay.
The veg.
Yeah.
Is it sketch?
I put a little pico.
Is it like cold? I mean, is it room temperature?
I'm not touching it, bro.
You're putting that stuff on the hot dogs.
Yeah, I'm not touching it.
Okay, so.
People just don't, you know, they cross-contaminate a lot.
Yeah.
People just are so disrespectful.
Yeah, so the utensils from the onions end up in the relish thing?
It's just disrespectful, man. People are just, they're
it
weird.
It does get kind of sloppy. I popped into Costco the other day, and I mean, they still have the $1.50 hot dog deal, which is outstanding, but even that was
there's no
messy.
Rules to this? What are we doing? Yeah, it's just like anarchy out there in the hot dog
you've
world.
You've got some drippage from the mustard and the relish all over on the counter, and then sometimes that can just kind of seep into the onion, and we got issues.
I'm telling you, you got to be careful with the ballpark. You got to be careful with the ballpark because if you hit the mustard dispenser thing,
oh, it'll get
sometimes
you.
Sometimes there'll be some gumpage going on there, a little gumpy.
Yeah.
And when it, but when the gumpy clears, it that thing goes
it's firing out
on your shorts. Oh no. What was I? You know, you got to stand over on the side. Don't go straight line. If you're straight line putting mustard on your hot dog at a ballpark, you're risking wearing the mustard going back to section 107.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's some strategy there.
Yeah,
just with the
stand to the side, and yeah,
the exit velo on that mustard is crazy.
It's great. Put your eye out.
They're not all equal.
No, it is not. All right, there's a little baseball maxing here in the G Bag Nation. Great to have you in on a hump day. Coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner.
Yeah, I've got some Cowboy stuff. It's really about Malik Hooker. I want to talk about. We'll do that next.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Rangers lineup has dropped, and it looks to be near identical to what it was last night with Peterson leading off, Josh Smith again batting second, playing second, Berger at first, Nimmo going ahead and playing right field. Your cleanup batter, Duran at third, Evan Carter at center, Osuna in left, Elias Diaz catching for Mackenzie Gore, and then Nicky Lopez again playing shortstop and rounding out your order. We'll talk with Jared Sandler coming up at 5. We got Ari Temkin at 4:20. But right now, it's Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Hurtado and Reliant AC. Here he is, King of the Krusty's.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. And thank you very much to Hurtado and also to Reliant. I was kind of looking at, and this is, man, I don't want to even bring this up anymore, with the whole thing with Malik Hooker. You know, Bobby,
it's kind of gone crazy. It's weird to be arguing about a player that is really not. Bobby seems to think he's going to have a massive role. Maybe he does.
I want to say this. I want to give Bobby credit. Because Bobby, I want to give Bobby credit about this. Because Bobby's looking at it away from a money standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it as, well, look what they did to the position. You know, look how they went out and spent money. And Bobby's argument or discussion, it's really not an argument. I mean, he's just saying what?
Just a rebuttal.
It's just a rebuttal.
Yeah.
He's thinking it's like they had a chance to save money. Why did they not get rid of him too?
Which I would argue they should have. And I think that was a bad decision because I think PJ Locke might be better than Malik Hooker. Now, we'll find out. Maybe Malik Hooker, he's battled a lot of injuries. There's no question about it. I don't think he's a good cover player at this stage in his career, but he has proven to be a sure tackler. All you'll hear from anybody praising him from that building is how smart he is. He's a good character guy. He has leadership traits. And maybe those are all the things that they wanted to stay. Those are why they wanted to keep him here.
All the other players, all the other safeties that they moved on from might not have fit the what you're talking about with the smarts and all that stuff like that. I understand that. And that, like I say, my discussion, I didn't focus on that money. You know, and the money is very, I mean, it's super reasonable. But if you know, say he were to get cut post June 1, and that post June 1 would be, say that he gets in training camp and, you know, he doesn't make the team. Well, it's like a $5.5 million cap hit.
Okay, so he's going to be on the team then.
See, that's...
I doubt they want to eat that.
Yeah, and then there's only like a cap savings of like $1 million.
Yeah, that Malik Hooker's not going to get cut, I don't think, in that case.
See, that's... If you look at it as that way...
Yeah.
Bobby's right.
Right.
Bobby's absolutely right about that. And so, the more... I mean, I want to look at the position thing. I know one thing. I think they upgraded the position.
Oh, there is no question. And I thought it might have been the weakest room. I know linebacker was bad, but their safety play was atrocious.
I just feel like that they were so bad up the middle, with the exception of the defensive tackles. You know, I just felt like that they were so bad up the middle that way. You know, with the linebackers and the safeties. And the way I'm arguing, I'm like, gosh, you got to get better up the middle, don't you?
Amen.
And I felt like that they did. But do you believe? All right, let me ask it this way then. Malik Hooker on the team. Bobby thinks Malik Hooker playing significant time. Is he going to be right about this?
Well, he's right in the sense of if the Cowboys are legitimately going to just be keeping Caleb Downs as their slot corner in nickel and dime situations. I would love these corners to step up and maybe Kobe Durant or Reddy Stewart, whoever it is, your outside guys like Bland's actually healthy, Revel shows you something, and you can actually line up to where you've got your two outside guys. Durant can play inside. Because I would love Caleb Downs to be able to play like a Troy Polamalu type.
Yeah.
Where he can be a chess piece that you're moving all over the place. He's sneaking up and he's kind of like a sniffer around the line of scrimmage. He can play deep at safety. He can play linebacker. If you want him to shade over the slot, he can do that. If you want him to man a tight end, I want no restraints on Caleb Downs. If you've got him in that specific role, I think Bobby's right in that. They're probably going into the season thinking that, but I'd love it to where that isn't how they have to end up using him.
Does Hooker play because he's smart?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing now?
Yes, I think there's trust there.
Yeah, yeah, and
I just don't feel like he covers well enough, though. That's what you got Downs for.
And Thompson.
And Thompson, you got these guys that can play, and I need somebody in the back end that I can kind of put, if all of a sudden it's, okay, it's a two-deep look, you're playing hashes and stuff. I get it. Everybody tell me Malik Hooker tackles well, this, that, and the other. I mean, I think there's plenty of opportunities where you could watch Malik Hooker missing a tackle or two. But the whole defense was missing tackles. That's not an indictment of Hooker. That's the whole defense was bad.
But in coverage, you're right. I can't think of a play that he's made in the last 2 years.
It's like, yeah, why do you want to play somebody in coverage? That's what you need. You've got other players to play his role, you know, to play down,
making
to play
tackles.
Underneath.
Yeah. PJ Locke could do that, in my opinion, and might be better at it now at this stage in Hooker's career.
Yeah, I do think that's what PJ Locke brings to the table. It's not really the coverage aspect here.
No,
I think Jalen Thompson is probably your best cover safety.
Right.
You know, if you're thinking about Downs in a different way.
Yeah, if Downs is playing your slot outside of base. Because I think ideally your safeties are in base defense. It's Downs and Thompson.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, Hooker's hopefully not on the field. But when you go to nickel, if they are planning on Downs is that star player where he's moving and playing nickel corner, then it is. Is it Thompson and Hooker? Is it Thompson and Locke? I would predict that over time Locke ends up taking Hooker's role. But
I think Locke is smart enough. I didn't see any massive like, oh geez. I mean, I think he made three or four starts there in Denver.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is a good signing here.
Had two big interceptions against Josh Allen when they played him during the season and in the playoffs.
I think it's one of those. Votch likes to talk about Votch Lombardi, who we all work with. It's like position redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've got guys that, you know, that they could do this, but the guy you need needs to be able to cover. I just don't see that with this guy. And to me, I'll admit this because I think that people, if I ask you guys, when I say Luke Schoonmaker, you guys are like, I'm done.
I just want better.
I'm done. I feel the same way about Hooker.
And I'm with you. I agree with the way that you see the player.
But I want to give Bobby credit for bringing up the fact that, listen, dumbass, talking about me, listen, he's look at his contract. Look at his contract.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not
going
to go anywhere. And Bobby's right about that.
He is.
But I'm to the point where I am so hopeful of watching the practices and the preseason and that the fact that somebody else, because I think they're going to need somebody to be able to play well in coverage.
Yeah, and to be fair, I don't know if that's PJ Locke. Maybe Hooker when it comes
to coverage. Maybe because I've seen Hooker not play that way.
Yeah, I think you've got two guys that are good cover safeties in Downs and Thompson. Locke, we'll see. You know, but we know Hooker is now a box safety.
I don't feel that great about Bell covering anybody either.
No. I think that Bell, there's a reason his best year was playing linebacker, and I think we're seeing that now. He's not a good cover safety. But I am intrigued, and I brought up his name yesterday and what they have in Elijah Clark.
Elijah Clark, I think you're absolutely right about that.
And they seem to love him.
I don't think we're giving Elijah Clark enough of a look right now or enough of conversation about him. Because I do think he could cover. You know, that's to me, I just, if I've got guys that can play down and play and tackle and play, you know, I'm cool. But if I don't have anybody that can play in the middle of the field and play with some range and help these corners when the ball goes vertically, I just don't see it. So, listen, I want to acknowledge Bobby Belt. Bobby, if you're listening, you made a great point. You made a great point. I've seen enough of Hooker, and it's kind of like people think about Luke Schoonmaker. I just do. Who do you guys think the normal nickel will be? If they're bringing Downs at put him at safety, mm-hmm. Who do you think's going to play that nickel spot?
Man, I think in their perfect world, it would probably be Kobe Durant if Revel and some of these guys can be trusted to play
that
the boundary.
Way. He's working that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they can't trust Revel and some of the other younger guys on the boundary, then I guess Reddy Stewart would probably be that guy. I mean, that would be my guess, again, unless a Zion Childress or somebody like that ends up stepping up. In a way that
you
we
just
don't
didn't
totally
think about,
foresee.
You just didn't think about a guy like Carson or any of that, did you?
I'm not thinking about Carson in the nickel. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I'm just saying you're not even. It's not even a. You just kind of like.
I think hopefully it could be Carson, could it be Revel that are actually good enough on the boundary to where they feel comfortable
putting
Durant
inside. There you go. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Because I agree. The other guy, I'd still think that to me, he's played his best football in the slot is Daron Bland.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind kicking Bland inside, and maybe I am so off and wrong on that, but I thought Bland did really good things.
No, he did. It's been a while now, right? Like it was his rookie year that he did that, and they just haven't had the propensity to want to put him back there. And he certainly doesn't want to.
Yeah, he hasn't wanted to do it.
Do you think him having to carry or cover so much ground puts more stress on his foot?
Yes, that's probably a big part of it, and I think that's a great point.
Yeah, the shifty receivers dragging you across the field.
And then now you have to plan on that foot. Yeah, I think so, too.
Covering choice routes out of the slot.
That's tough. It's a tough spot. It's such a challenging position.
Yeah. All right, boys. Thank you. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you. There is Krusty's Corner, again, brought to you by Hurtado and Reliant AC, every day at 3:40-ish here in the G-Bag Nation. Let's hit a football fix, shall we? Breakouts, growing up in a football family, and is Dak out of excuses based on this list? That's next in the Nation.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze. We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.